नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये अष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। यू आर वेलकम फॉर मॉर्निंग चिल्ड्रन भागवत क्लास एट दिस कान श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम मंदिर वृंदावन। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम एट्थ कैंटो चैप्टर वन। द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल मनुज द एडमिनिस्ट्रेटर्स ऑफ द यूनिवर्स। So most generally it's called Manvantara, which is one of the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Out of the 10 subject matter of Bhagavatam, one Manvantara is one, which means the administration of the universal affairs. So we are reading, well, text 7 is for recitation, but we have to do the check, text 4, 5, 6 and 7. So let us start reciting this chapter or verse 7. Virakta kama bhogesho shatarupa patihe prabho विसर्जय राजयम् तपस्से सभारयो वनम् आविशा। सो व्रक्तः विदाउट अटैचमेंट काम भोगेशो इन सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन इन गृहस्थ आश्रम शतरूपापति ही द हस्बैंड ऑफ शतरूपा नेमली स्वयंभू मनु प्रभो हु वाज द मास्टर ऑफ किंग ऑफ द वर्ल्ड विसर्जया After renouncing totally Rajayam, his kingdom, tapasya for practicing austerities, Sabharyaha with his wife, Vanam, the forest, Avishat, entered. translation by Srila Prabhupada. Swayambhu Manu, the husband of Shatrupa, was by nature not at all attached to enjoyment of senses. Thus he gave up his kingdom of sense enjoyment and entered the forest with his wife to practice austerities. So before we start the purport of this verse, the continuity is like Maharaj Parikshit is asking from Sukhdev Goswami about the more pastime of Supreme Lord in different Manvantras or in different times of rule of Manu. So the subject matter is to know the pastime of Supreme Lord. So in answer, Sukhdev Goswami is saying, already 6 Manus have ruled this planet. What it means, in one day of Brahma, which is called Kalpa, there are 14 Manus ruling. Out of the 14 of this day of Brahma, 6 has already finished their rule. The 7th is presently ruling. The one ruling Manu right now is Vaivasvat Manu. And this is the Manu which in Bhagavad Gita has received the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Imam Vaivasvate Yogam. So this is the Manu. Now, in Swayambhu Manu's time, which is the first Manu, after the word Manu, we are called men, or Manav. So Swayambhu Manu and his wife Shatrupa is called Swayambhu Manu because they appeared from the body of Brahma directly. So from right side, Manu, from left side, Shatrupa. So they are called Swayambhu Manu. Now in the verse number 4, which is for today's, Sukhdev Goswami is saying, Sukhdev Goswami said, the present Kalp, means day of Brahma, there have already been 6 Manus. I have described to you the Swayambhu Manu, the first, and the appearance of many demigods. What it means, in the one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus in each Manvantar. Means in during the each day of rule of Manu, in the time of rule of Manu, there is one incarnation of Supreme Lord. That is called Manvantar Avatar. And he selects one Manu as a president. Then he selects one administrating demigod, Indra. And then he selects 7 rishis to guide them. So this is the rule of one Manu. One incarnation, one Manu, one Indra, and 7 rishis. And then many demigods. So each Manvantar has one incarnation of Supreme Lord. That's called Manvantar Avatar. So this is in the categories of incarnation. So the present Indra is Purandar. His name is Purandar. So Indra is also a name of post. A person changes. Anybody who performs 100 Ashwamedh Yajna, he is qualified to be Indra. He may be selected, may not be selected. But his qualification is, he is eligible for the post of Indra. And therefore one of the name of Indra is Shat Kratu. Shat means 100 and Kratu means sacrifices. And also in Shad is called Sakar. Indra is called Shakar, which means Shat Kratu. So now Sukhdev Goswami is saying further, Swayambhu Manu has two daughters. Swayambhu Manu has how many daughters? Swayambhu Manu have 3 daughters and 2 sons. But here it says Swayambhu Manu has 2 daughters named Akuti and Devahuti. Why 2 daughters said not 3? The third one is Prasuti. Akuti, Devahuti, Prasuti. Because Prasuti was married to Daksha Prajapati, and there is no incarnation of God through that. But the 2 daughters gave birth to the Supreme Lord. Akuti gave birth to Yajna Murti. And Devahuti, we know, gave birth to Kapil Dev. So these are the actually, the answer is to the pastime of Supreme Lord through these manvantras. So Akuti and Devahuti, from their womb, the Supreme Personality Godhead appeared as 2 sons named Yajna Murti from Akuti and Kapil Dev from Devahuti, respectively. These sons were entrusted with preaching about religion and knowledge. About dharma jnana upadesha artham. Dharma, which means religion, and jnanam, which means knowledge. Upadesha means preaching. So we know in third canto, this is the second most longest discourse by Kapil Dev to Devahuti. The first one is Sri Krishna to Uddhava in 11th canto. But the next longest discourse is given by Kapil Dev. So this is already discussed. Devahuti's son was known as Kapil and Akuti's son was known as Yajna Murti. Both of them taught about religion and philosophical knowledge. That's what Srila Prabhupada has given 2 lines of purport. So which type of knowledge Kapil Dev has given? Sankhya, Darshan, but Bhakti Yukta Sankhya. A Sankhya based on Bhakti, not the atheistic Sankhya which was given by another Kapila. Right, the 6th verse. O best of the Kurus, which means Parikshit Maharaj, I have already described in 3rd canto the activities of Kapila, the son of Devahuti. Now I shall describe the activities of Yajnapati, the son of Akuti. So the discussion is now actually about the pastime of Supreme Lord. But usually the pastime of Supreme Lord is always almost associated with his devotees. It's not that Supreme Lord is always with devotees. So when we discuss the pastime of Pandavas, Krishna automatically appears there. When we discuss some manvantar incarnation automatically appears here. The another word for manvantar or the rule of manu is sadharma sthapana. The manvantar is one of the topic of Bhagavatam. Same word in a 12th canto is called sadharam sthapana. It means establishing the principle of religion. So in whole 8th canto, each manu has established some specific religious principle. Like one manu established Ekadashi to follow. Some manu, this first manu established austerities, tapasya. So in whole 8th canto, there are 3 principles. Sadharma, mainly. The first sadharma is, when we are in difficulty, in trouble, always turn to Supreme Lord and offer prayers and beg for His mercy. This is the first principle. And in 3 chapters, this is described by Gajendra Moksha, by the Gajendra, this pastime of Gajendra, he was in trouble. cut by a crocodile and he was praying. So this is in difficulty, always turn to Supreme Lord and offer prayers is the first principle of Manvantara. The second part of the 8th canto is churning of the milk ocean. This is the second subject matter of the 8th canto. Almost 8-9 chapters are like that. And here the principle is, when God gives everything to you, then magnanimously give in charity everything. This is another principle of Manvantara. So, the churning of the milk ocean, the idea was given by Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord appeared as a Kachap avatar to hold the churning rod. And then he appeared as a Mohini Murti to distribute. He appeared as a Dhanvantri to distribute. So everything was given by Supreme Lord. So whatever the 14 gems came out of that churning, they all were distributed. And out of the 14, 3 are most important. The one is a Kamadhinu cow, wish-fulfilling cow. This was given to the rishis, to the saintly people, because cow is for the religious principle. The second most important gem came out is Lakshmi Devi. And she offered the garland and she accepted Lord Vishnu. And she is maintaining the whole world. And third most important gem is nectar, which was distributed to the devotees, which are demigods. So out of 14, these are the three most important. They are distributed. The third principle of 8th canto is, when somebody promises something, then he must be truthful to that, whatever the difficulties may be on the execution of that promise. And the pastime of Bali Maharaj is there. He promised to give to Lord Vishnu. Even his spiritual master Shukracharya was stopping, but he did not listen to him, and he fulfilled his promise given to Lord Vishnu. So these are the three principles throughout the 8th canto of Bhagavatam. In difficulty, turn to the Supreme Lord and pray. When Krishna gives everything to you, give open-heartedly as a charity. And when you promise somebody, well, at least to the Supreme Lord, like we have promised to chant 16 rounds, whatever happened, we have not to give it up. Because these are the promises we have made. This is practical application in our life. Whatever we have commitment, whatever happens, difficulty in our life, we should continue that. So now, today's verse, so Manu has two sons and three daughters, Swayambhu Manu. The two sons, first son was described in 4th canto, Uttanapad, and his descendants, Dhruva Maharaj. And then one incarnation and that canto is Prithu Maharaj. And then the second son, which is actually elder, is Priyavart in 5th canto. And in Priyavart, his line, the incarnation is Rishabhdev. So this, they are already described. Now this two daughters, they have also two sons. So Manu, when he gave his daughter Akuti to Prajapati, Akuti was given to Ruchi Prajapati, Ruchi, with a condition that the son of the daughter Manu will adopt. So Akuti gave birth to Yajna and Dakshina. Because Yajna cannot be completed without Dakshina. So Yajna then was adopted by Manu as a son. So now the story will go that Manu retired after two sons' rule. Then he said, now I will retire. I will go for austerities. So this Yajna, he became Indra when Rishabdev was ruling. This Yajna was once Indra because there was no eligible person to be Indra. So this Yajna was Indra when Rishabdev was ruling. Now this Yajna, what he will do? He will protect Swayambhu Manu when he is doing tapasya from the demons. This will be the pastime of Yajna now. Paritranaya sadhunam vinayashaya cha duskirtam. So sadhu is Manu, he will protect the Manu. And duskirta are the demons and he will kill the demons. So this will be the pastime of Yajna Purush here. So Yajna already has a one pastime there as Indra. So now what is the characteristic of the Manu or what Sadharma Manu is establishing as a ruler of the planet? That is subject matter of this verse. And that is tapasya. Swayambhu Manu established the Sadharma of tapasya or the austerity. Now let us discuss Srila Prabhupada's word. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, 2nd verse, evam parampara praptam, evam parampara praptam, imam raja rishyo viduhu. The supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and saintly kings understood it in that way. This language Srila Prabhupada has used, the supreme science. Srila Prabhupada never considered Krishna consciousness religion. He said it is science of love of Krishna. It is a science of soul. Srila Prabhupada once said, if I would have told to the people that my religion is better than your religion, they would have kicked me. I never said like that. I say, I am teaching you the science of love of God. It is only the love that is lacking within the heart. So we want to fill it with so many things of this world, it will never be satisfied. Because it can only be satisfied with the love of God. That is only the contentment of the heart. So science of love of God. Then Srila Prabhupada said, any student want to study science, like a chemistry, physics, he may be of any religion, he may be Hindu, he may be Muslim, he may be Christian, he may be Buddhist, whatever. He has to go to the professor of physics or chemistry to learn that. So I am teaching the science of love of God. You may be from any religion. Come and I will teach you. So this is actually the strategy for the preacher. This is the language used by a empowered preacher. Because science of Krishna is for all. Bhagavad Gita, when we say this first verse, the second verse, say the first verse of 4th chapter. What is the first verse of the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Imam vivasvate yogam prokman aham avyayam. I imparted this imperishable science of Krishna consciousness, yoga, to sun god. What is actually implied in this? What is the message in this? The message is, this knowledge is universal. So one sun is giving light to the all countries of this world. Is it right or wrong? Do China has a separate sun, or America has a separate sun, or Russia has a separate sun, or Bharat has a separate sun? No. One sun is giving light to all the countries. And one Bhagavad Gita's knowledge will enlighten all the people of the planet. That is the message actually. That is the application or universality of science of Krishna consciousness. That's what Srila Prabhupada is really teaching us how to preach. It is science of love of God. So it is universal. When Srila Prabhupada was asked in Indore, when he was very in the Gita, it was the every year they have Gita, when there's the appearance of Gita, they have 7-10 days discourses by different sadhus. So Srila Prabhupada was really saying, if you speak Gita, you speak about Krishna. Without Krishna, there's no Gita. So many people are speaking about Gita, philosophy, without, you know, speaking about Krishna. This is all. You know, so Prabhupada was really very heavy about those, and then some person came and he said, Srila Prabhupada, sadhu must be impartial. He must have an equal vision. Why you are criticizing somebody and why you are just doing like that? Why you don't have equal vision? Prabhupada said, I have equal vision. Say, what is that? You are criticizing. Say, my equal vision is, I have given this Krishna, this Bhagavad Gita, without discrimination all over the world. This is my equal vision. I have given this Krishna message of Bhagavad Gita without any discrimination. This is my equal vision. So equal vision means distributing the message of Krishna to everyone. So the science, Prabhupada's one word, is so deep meaning for a preacher to learn when we preach. So we say, and then Prabhupada said, science means you have a hypothesis. Then you do the practical, then you will get result. So the Krishna consciousness, we are giving the process. Maybe you accept as a hypothesis, chant Hare Krishna. And you practice it, and then you will get result. So it is a science, because there is a procedure and there is a practical, and you will get result. And one of the Srila Prabhupada's disciple has done research, PhD, that chanting Hare Krishna elevates the consciousness of a person as compared to the chanting of any other word of this world. He has done a research, Sri Govind. Some group of people, he said, chant Coca-Cola for 20 minutes. And other group, he said, chant Hare Krishna for 20 minutes every day. Then he has a yardstick, the mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. He has a criteria. So then he found after experimental time, that statically, those who chanted Hare Krishna, they elevated from, if they were in mode of ignorance, they came to the passion. Those who were in passion, they came to the goodness. Those who were goodness, they become more, you know, sober. But on the other side, those who chanted Coca-Cola, there was no change. So it's experimentally it is proved. That this chanting transforms the heart. It's elevating on the scale of the three modes and then beyond. So this is science. So the message we get from one word is all preacher of Krishna consciousness following the teaching of Srila Prabhupada is not a religion. It's a science. So we should be, acquainted with the knowledge, and then we present it in that way that it should appeal to everyone who is sincere. Now, the Srila Prabhupada's point here, all the Manus were perfect kings. So in other words, the message here is evam parampara praptam raja rishyo viduhu. Sometimes this is another question asked. Well, this Bhagavad Gita is Upanishad. Usually the student should have been some sannyasi, some Brahman, qualified, some vipra. But Krishna has selected no sannyasi, no Brahman. He selected Arjuna, a kshatriya and a grastha to impart this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Why? Arjuna is a Raja Rishi. So Raja Rishis are given this knowledge. Why Rajarishis are given this knowledge? Yadjad acharati sreshta tattat evatro janaha. As the leaders do, the common people will follow. So Rajarishis were imparted this knowledge. They are Rajas and they are Rishis. Raja means rulers and Rishis means saintly people. And what is the qualification of Rajarishis? That is this verse. That they are not attached to the kingdom. And the word here is Vraktah Kama Bhogeshu Tyajya Rajyam. He was not attached at all to the opulence of the kingdom. He was ruling as a duty. Yudhishthira Maharaj was a Rajarishi. He was ruling. So, this Kurukshetra war, just to get this, why Krishna appeared? To establish dharma. And he established the person dharma, Dharmaraj as a king of this planet. But the day Krishna departed, and the message brought by Arjun, that our well-wisher dear Krishna has left the planet back to his own abode, Yudhishthira Maharaj put his crown down. I don't want to rule. I was ruling only because Krishna wanted me to rule. I have no attachment to the opulence and rule of this kingdom. And when Yudhishthira said that, Bhima has put his crown down. No, don't tell me that I should rule after you. After you. And the Arjun was already morose and he was dejected because Krishna's death. But Nakul Shadir said, don't tell us also to rule. We will follow you. These are Rajarishis. They are not interested in ruling or in power, but they are only interested to serve Krishna. Then they enthroned Parikshit Maharaj. He was too young at time as emperor. So the principle of Rajarishis is they are not attached to the ruling. They are attached to the to the service of the Supreme Lord. And when there is a necessity, they are immediately detached. So next line, Srila Prabhupada, all the Manus were perfect kings. Perfect kings means Rajarishis. They were Rajarishis. In other words, although they held post as the kings of the world, they were as good as great saints. Well, this is old time. Recently in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami was ministers. They have a boat load of golden coins. But as soon as Mahaprabhu wanted them to come in Vrindavan, Tyaktva Turana Mandalapati Tuchavata. They were Mandalapati. They were the rulers. They have left it like nothing. Tuchvat, Malvat, never looked behind what is there. And they came and lived in Vrindavan under different trees. So this is, they are Rajarishis. They were kings and they were rishis. So this is a present day. If we look, it's like that. They have all these facilities, but they gave up all these things. Narottam Das Thakur was a son of a king. Krishna Das, what is his name? Huh? Krishna Dutt. So, by the mercy of Loknath Goswami and the teaching of Jiva Goswami, he was sadhu and he established this Gaur Purnima festival and established the whole, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's worship immediately. So he gave up all the rulership. So they are like Rajarishis are like that. They have all the facilities, but they are ready to give up when it is required. For higher purpose. So, they were Rajarishis. In other words, although they held post as the kings of the world, they were as good as great saints. Swayambhu Manu, for example, was the emperor of the world, yet he had no desire for sense gratification. This is the meaning of monarchy. Now Srila Prabhupada is saying, there is a meaning of monarchy. Monarchy means the kings selected by the rishis. You know, monarchy means the kings were enthroned by Abhishek. And after Abhishek, there was a crown that was put on the head of a king. And they have an advisory council of the rishis. So they were guided by the spiritually enlightened people. And they were ruling. That is called the monarchy. That's what the system of rule was of the Raj Rishis. Now Srila Prabhupada is saying, the king of the country or the emperor of the empire must be so trained that by nature he renounces sense gratification. He should be so trained. So how he can be trained? By the rishis. All these great kings, all these Pandavas were the kings. But they were trained by the spiritual masters, you know, to rule as well as to be detached simultaneously. So they were trained by the, they were trained. It means there was a training for the princes of this monarchy. And they know what to do and how to do at the house of a spiritual master. It is not that because one becomes king, he should unnecessarily spend money for sense gratification. In other places of Bhagavatam, it says money is collected from the public by the king. It's like sun collects the water from the ocean and make a cloud. What? For what purpose? Again pour down as a rain that the land become green, there will be fruit, vegetable and everything, and the whole world become peaceful and get their necessities. So king get money for not enjoyment, for using it for the citizens' welfare. So that's the purpose of the king's collecting money. He has a money. As soon as king becomes degraded, spending money for sense gratification, they were lost. Similarly, at present moment, monarchy having been lost, the people have created democracy, which is also failing. Why democracy is failing? But another word Srila Prabhupada used to use for democracy, demon's curse. It's a demon's curse. Why democracy is failing? Because the value of the vote of a vice chancellor of a university and an illiterate person is same. The value of a civil surgeon of the hospital or professor or principal of medical college and person suffering from tuberculosis and may die tomorrow has the same value. Mental office, hospital superintendent and completely crazy people has the same vote. The democracy can be successful if only the vice chancellor of the universities, the professors are the highest, you know, religious people, they select the right person as a king, not the common people which have no end, they don't know what to do. They give vote just against, you know, some sentiment or some allurement. Either sentiment or allurement, two things, nothing else. Or third thing is out of fear. So democracy is failing, Srila Prabhupada said. And we see what is the next, Srila Prabhupada is also forecasting. When this must have been written by 76, somewhere, this 8th canto, 76 or 70, early 77. At that time, Srila Prabhupada said, now the next Now, by the law of nature, the time is coming when dictatorship will put the citizen into more and more difficulty. Dictatorship means the army rule, which our neighbor country has every next moment. We have seen so many dictatorships, you know. My way or highway, dictatorship means my way or highway. Do as I say, there's no way. So this dictatorship is also coming now. If the king or a dictator individually, or the members of the government collectively, this is another Srila Prabhupada's expert explanation. Only king, not kong, but the members of the government collectively. Now maybe we have a good, say one person as a prime minister, good, but the whole government is corrupt, what can we do? How can he be successful? So both things, the king or the dictator individually or members of the government collectively cannot maintain the state or kingdom according to the rules of Manu, Sahinta, or the law given by Manu. Certainly their government will not endure. So Srila Prabhupada is saying here, all these will be failure, and then he gave the solution. Gave the solution that we should increase the number of devotees, and we should find out some Raj Rishis for the future to be the king. And then the Krishna consciousness will spread. So only we take simple message, at least those who are living in our temple, we must have an enrollment at least of casting the vote. Then at least the person who is getting elected from this area, he will come with folded hands for the votes. And then he will see the deities, he will take prasad, we will just preach to him something. At least he will do some help to us. But ultimately, we should increase our preaching that the common people will have a sense to select the right person. And we should also train some kshatriyas. Ultimately, Brahmins, we need, Prabhupada started to create Brahmins, but in the end he said we need whole Varna Ashram system. So we need Kshatriya actually. We may be doing nice devotional practice, but all around the whole, you know, country is so corrupt, then how can we really survive and do it? So there is a need. I mean, so message is very deep. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment? So the Manu, this Swayambhu Manu as a king means the rulers, the administrator, they must be trained with a sense of detachment simultaneously with rule. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment? Yes, Prabhuji. Hari Bol.
Class, you quote in front of us in your class, and you said you wish to King Arjun Nakula Sahadev after the battle of Kurukshetra, when Krishna left, they all decided to go away to go back to Krishna. So where did your wife?
Drupadi went with them. She also followed them. Well, if you sometime visit Badrika Ashram, so they were going after Badrika Ashram all the way back to the heavenly planets. They walked all the way. One by one, everybody was following. First one was falling was Drupadi on the way. Then was the Nakul, Shadev, Bhima, Arjun, and then only Yudhishthira was one left. Then Dharmaraj appeared there, and then all they went ultimately as the demigod portion in them went to the heavenly planet, and as the associate of Krishna, they went to the spiritual world. Because they were actually two personalities, all these Pandavas. They were eternal associate of Krishna, as well as they were the portion of some demigod. So like Indra, portion of the Indra appeared is Arjun, but Arjun is the eternal associate of Krishna also. So the eternal associate went back to the Krishna, and the Indra portion went back to the heavenly planet. So they left, because Krishna left, their business was over. But Draupadi also left with them. Srila Prabhupada ki Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki Jai Hridaye Gaur Premanande.